You know, this weekend was spent many hours looking for that doll, that baby that is so important to our little guy. We looked all over the house because we knew the baby mattered. And we got the kids looking, and we got my husband looking after work. And eventually, several days later, the baby was found hidden in the car's bin underneath some books that somehow got in there. I'm sure you can relate at times, but it had me thinking about how God seeks us out, how God desires to find us. And God's heart is not only for the people of Israel. Today's stories remind us that God's heart is for all people. But there's a second part of the stories today here that I think is a little bit harder for some of us. Not all accept the good news. Not all are saved. Unlike the lifeless doll that has to do whatever the person holding him requires, we have a choice. God made people in God's very image with the ability to choose God or reject God. People were offered the kingdom. It was not forced on them. Some would embrace it and have their lives changed, while others would reject it. I want to look at the stories in Kings and Luke and see how both stories have people who point to God as a source of healing. Both stories tell of how foreigners are part of God's redemptive plans. And both stories ask for a willingness to be healed by submitting to God's truth. So let's take a closer look at the stories one at a time. Our first story comes from 2 Kings, the story of Naaman, a great army leader. He had been given credit for victory over Israel. Kind of ironic that it was Israel who would be the one he would be sent to for help. You see, he had a skin disease, and this threatened his role in the army because there was fear that it was contagious, and some skin diseases were especially contagious, meaning that they would have to leave the area. How would he, as a hero, continue to bring army victory if he was on the edge of society, not welcome to lead in his work or even in his life? And yet, from this previous victory, he had a servant girl for his wife, a girl who had been kidnapped. Who knows whether her family had survived or whether she was the only one left. You wouldn't blame her at all for being quite angry, for not wanting to help her master or her master's husband, who was Naaman. But it was her that said, you know what, if only my master could access the healing power of Israel's God. And Naaman's wife went and approached Naaman and said, I think there's a chance at healing. And Naaman went and approached the king of Aram and said, I need to go to Israel. This is what the servant girl has said. And so, in kingly fashion, the king said, well, this is my great army warrior. I must send him with money so that we can pay for his healing. So he sent him off with chariots and with funds of gold and silver to go and pay for this healing. When he arrived in Israel, the king of Israel was not on the same page as this little girl. He was in distress. How can I heal this man? He tore his clothes, thinking this was some kind of threat. And the prophet Elisha heard of this and said, hold on, send Naaman to me. Send Naaman my way. And so Naaman went from the king's castle over to Elisha's house. Now, Naaman was used to being treated as a hero, and so he expected Elisha to come out of his house, excitedly greeting him and waving his arms in some special magical way that would provide healing. Instead, Elisha sends out a servant and says, go and wash in the Jordan River. in that small, muddy river that is not near as nice as the rivers back home. Go and wash 7 times. Now, how would you feel as a hero being sent to wash in a little muddy river? Naaman was understandably upset. He didn't understand. Perhaps he even thought they were trying to trick him. He had a choice to make. He was so angry, left in a rage. But his servants caught up and said, "Now, Naaman, if you were asked to do a great and heroic thing to be healed, would you have done that?" And Naaman paused and thought, "Well, yes, I would. So could you go and do something as simple as washing 7 times? And 7 was a number used to represent a completeness. Would you wash a complete number of times to be clean?" And so he went, and he was healed. And his skin was described as being like that of a little boy. Just like the faith of the little girl who started the story, his skin was young and healthy, not something they would have expected to have happen. Now, if we had kept reading further in the passage, Naaman wanted to go back and to pay Elisha, because that's what we do in human terms. We want to pay and say thank you. But Elisha knew this was a chance to show that God's gift is a free gift, a gift of love. It is not something that can be bought with money. And so though Naaman had a lot of money with him, he said, no, go home in peace. And through this, Naaman came to know and worship the one true God. This was a powerful story, and it was a marked time for the Israelites, who were tempted to try and worship multiple gods. But Naaman knew there was something different, and he describes wanting to take dirt back home because he had this belief that you could only worship a god on their own territory. So he said, "I better take some of Israel's dirt because I need to go back home and worship this God who healed my leprosy." And it's a beautiful story of Naaman coming to faith as an outsider to Israel. I want to flip over to Luke 10. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus had sent out the 12 disciples to go and declare the news. In Luke 10, he sends out, some versions say 72, others say another 70. But the idea behind this is that he was sending people out symbolically to the nations, as this was the number of nations that there were thought to be. So Jesus was sending people out with an urgency to say, "I need you to preach the good word to the nations." They went specifically to towns where Jesus was going to go next. What did they do first? Jesus said, "Let's stop. Stop and pray. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, who is in charge of the harvest, and ask the Lord to send out more workers for his fields." Powerful words, and a reminder that at times the tasks in front of us are beyond what we can do. We're invited to pray and trust God with it, and not try and do it in our own strength. They are sent in groups of 2 to testify. And this was significant because in court in those days, they would look for groups of 2 to testify as a witness of truth, that 2 corroborating stories were thought to be true. And so 2 disciples going together were out to share that they had truth to share. They were sent out as lambs among wolves. Lambs among wolves. Now, if you've studied your animals lately, you remember that the wolves are out to attack. They love to eat the lambs and all sorts of other animals. What would it be like to be sent out as a lamb in a group of wolves? Jesus said, "Be careful, but also do things differently." And Jesus did things differently. Jesus went out as a lamb, sharing in love. sharing the good news of the gospel, sharing about his Father in heaven. And we also are invited to go out being careful and aware that there are wolves around, that there are enemies to the gospel, but also as lambs that trust in our Heavenly Father. Now, the instructions to the disciples were to go and find a place where they were welcomed, where people wanted the gospel and the kingdom of God proclaimed. And when they found that place, they were to stay. Stay in one home. Don't waste your time finding other places to stay or worry about overdoing your welcome. Stay. Be fed. And now, a little bit in contrast to our king's story, the instruction to the disciples was to make sure they were earning their food. They were speaking the good news. Other people would provide them food. But they were to go and travel lightly. So like the king's story, this was not about them amassing wealth. They were just to gain what they needed in order to continue on and to focus. Their job was to share the news. Others would feed them. And so what they did, were told to heal the sick. And in both passages, we see healing the sick as ways of making God's kingdom known. Heal the sick so that people would know that God's kingdom was coming. But Luke 10 also talks about another side of the story. Naaman accepted God and worshiped God. In the story of the disciples going out, we have people who both accepted and were healed, and people who rejected the disciples. And the instruction then was to leave them be and go on to the next place. The disciples return. They're excited. They want to say, guess what, Jesus? Exciting things happened. Guess what? Demons submitted to us. People were healed. You've got to know how cool this was, Jesus. And Jesus says, yes, that's great. But let's get our priorities back in order. While it is wonderful that these things happen, even more important is to remember not what God did through you, but what God did for you. And remember, it was common in that day to write the names of citizens in a book as a way of saying, you belong in this city, your name is in this book. And in the same way, our passage says, focus on your name written in the book of life more than on what you do for God. It's an interesting story. On the one hand, we see that God's love is for all, but that others and individuals need to make that choice. And I know that can be a point of grief and challenge for us. Are we going to make Jesus the center of our life? We're about to sing a song called Jesus Be the Center. And it's an opportunity for us to look at it and say, is Jesus the center of our lives? Are we putting our hope and our salvation in trust in Jesus alone? Or are we trying to do it on our own strength? Are we trying, like Naaman, to pay for our salvation? Or are we rejecting God's truth? I want to invite you today, as we sing the song, to just recenter your life in Jesus, being open to how Jesus may want to work in you and through you, and allow you to also serve others. I want to come back again to the young girl in the book of Kings. Is Jesus asking you to share the good news with someone who has hurt you? Someone who has done the equivalent of kidnapping your life, of causing pain in your life? Is there a way you can share the love of Jesus there? Will you be like the 70 disciples, declaring that the kingdom is near? And can you humble yourself like Naaman did, a great army hero, and allow the power of God to work in your life, simply in the ways that God has intended, giving up our own thoughts about how God should work in our lives? And will you be like Elisha and the disciples who serve and share without an expectation of collecting gifts for their own well-being? Let's take a moment in prayer as we prepare to sing, and then we gather for communion. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you that you invite us to make you the center of our lives, that you invite us to name you as Lord of our life. Help us to give up our ideas of what it means to serve you and instead be open to what you are calling us to do. Lord, help us to share boldly in situations where it is hard. Help us to receive humbly where you would have us receive. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.